Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for dropping in for more of your listener questions here on a Wednesday. And also, happy Cinco de Mayo. Get out there and have your Mexican food. And cheers. Have a margarita on mic. It's time for listener questions. We've got some great ones. We discuss the benefits of using a Disney Visa card for your next Disney vacation. We also bust out the crystal ball and discuss our thoughts on the possibilities of a Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party or even Marathon Weekend happening here at the end of 2021 and moving into 2022. We also discuss what to do when you book a Disney package and then you want to add a day and there's tight availability. That's happening a lot, and many more questions. Don't forget today's show brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. Check out all the great free services they offer you over at themagicforless.com. Also, check out our Amazon affiliate link. Click on that link. It really does help support the show. It's a free way to support the show. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you to our patrons. You're allowing us to put out four shows a week here on the feed. And our patrons get a fifth show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest. For more information on this and to become a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1895 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at The Magic for Less Travel, and for a few more hours, still a resident of Lake Buena Vista down at Walt Disney World, having a good time checking out of Coronado Springs today. We're recording this one a bit early, but I hope that we had a great time. Possibly brought home some hardware on the airplane here this evening. We'll see, because we were down there for the Summit Cheerleading Championships with Platinum Athletics out of Maryland Heights, Missouri, and I hope they had a great showing down there. But of course, when we go on vacations, we don't take a break. We don't say, oh, we're going on vacation, we're not going to do a podcast. No way. I'm too obsessive like that. We're going to have something on the feed for you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and most Thursdays. For the live shows, we're going to have a good time today answering your listener questions. So joining me, who will be, I'm passing the torch to Pam Forrester Koner, the Magic for Less Travel. She's headed down to Central Florida today. What's going on, Pam?
It's true. We are spending some time, our team's spending some time in both Universal and Walt Disney World, doing a little trip with the team, going to just get some education, some experience, spend some time together. And it's, you know, it feels great to be traveling again. I'm just going to say that. It feels really good to travel again. And especially when that, you know, those two, I think both Universal theme parks and Walt Disney World theme parks have done such a great job with their health and safety protocols that once you make the transition, you still get to get a little piece of that magic there. And that's what feels so good. So looking forward to that.
So I'm going to, I told this to my wife, right? Because I've had my shot. I got my, talk about it, you know, living on the edge, right? I got the Johnson & Johnson shot like 2 days before everything broke on that one. It wasn't me that was worried. It was my wife, because we got it at the same time. And I was like, you know what? Hey, what are we going to do? Like, if they put it in us on a Saturday, they came up with all the news on a Monday, but we're well past two weeks out. So I told Pam, you know, I'm like, hey, let's take this thing for a ride. You know, like, you get a riding lawnmower, you're going to drive it, right? You get a Harley, you're going to ride around the neighborhood. Let's go. You know, I mean, still take precautions, but I mean, you know, get out there and still, you know, just because the thing I know people have different perspectives on this, and I respect everybody's, but I'm kind of the mindset that I just don't want to waste days. I'm 47, you know, like I feel like, you know, this last year was taken away from me. I want to cautiously, but, you know, still get out there and be able to see the world and do the things I love. So I'm excited that we are moving in that direction.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, travel is so much more than the destinations that you're going to. Of course, that makes a difference, but it's really about the experiences that you have and the people that you get to have those experiences with. And in addition, we all know that there are certain things that only happen when you're on vacation with your family. Like day to day, of course, you see them, you're living your lives, you're having a great life, all that stuff. But there's something about vacations that bring out these feelings and experiences and just memories that you can only create there. There's something about vacation memories. When you look back in your childhood, I bet like you don't remember day to day a ton, but you probably remember a lot of your vacations. And there's sort of a reason for that. Like, we need a little inside out character that is only vacation memories, right? Instead of like anger and all of that stuff. So anyways, it's important. Those are your core memories. I guess they would sort of fit into there. Things that really are meaningful to you. So
got to get out there and make memories. That's what life's all about. That's totally it. Okay. So we're going to hop in and answer some questions. If you have questions, everybody that's tuned in live, here on Facebook and YouTube, drop those in the chat and we'll get to those as well. But remember, we're recording this one a bit early, so let's make sure we can make this all make sense. All right, Kevin's got a question in the inbox. He says, hey, Mike and BOGP crew, we have a stay at the Contemporary in February of 2022. Can we use the Bay Lake Tower pools while staying there since the properties seem to be linked? Thanks, guys. Love the show. Kevin. So how does that work when you have like Contemporary and Bay Lake Tower? I don't even know the answer to that one, to be honest.
It actually, you can't actually. The Bay Lake Tower pool is one of the few pools on Disney property that in a situation like that, that is available just for the folks staying at Bay Lake Tower. So, and what's more interesting is the folks at Bay Lake Tower can come over and use the Contemporary pool, but the folks at the Contemporary can't use the Bay Lake Tower pool. So that's the official word on that. In most cases though, that's not the case. Like, if you're at Animal Kingdom Lodge, you can stay at either Jumbo House or Kidani. And if you're staying at Jumbo House, you're welcome to use the pool at Kidani. And if you're staying at Kidani, you're welcome to use the pool at Jumbo House. I'm not quite sure the thinking behind the Bay Lake Tower pool, except that it is sort of a smaller pool area. And that's probably why they wanted to make that for the exclusive use. I can't wait, though, until Riverside opens up, right? Because those are the sister resorts that so many guests really appreciate in the moderate category. And you can, again, use the pool at either one for that. So when you're staying at the Yacht and Beach Club, of course, you can use not only Storm Along Bay, but there's quiet pools at both the Yacht Club and the Beach Club. Guests of either resort are free to use those. And the Boardwalk Inn and Villas, again, the same thing. There's the main, no longer creepy clown pool.
The Keister Coaster now. You got the Keister Coaster. I was like saying it, the Keister Coaster.
That's right. And then there's also two quiet pools. And whether you're staying at the inn or the villas, you're permitted to use both pools. So it's really quite a unique situation there with Bay Lake Tower. But yes, that's the deal.
Okay, you brought up the Riverside Resorts. Let me ask you this, because over the past couple of weeks, I've seen this floated online. And of course, there's no official word on this. But it's interesting to talk about. I like that Disney has offered their cast members, furloughed and active cast members, one free night at a Walt Disney World resort. I mean, it's not a lot, but it's something. I mean, and I'm sure it'll be appreciated because, hey, it's a free night at a hotel. You know, it's a lot of fun. Now, do you think that they might be using those free nights? Because I did see that they're assigning cast members to hotels. I thought I saw that a couple days ago. Do you think they might assign those cast members to places like the Port Orleans resorts or maybe Animal Kingdom Lodge to kind of start to get things back up? I mean, I don't know if like that would be needed, but maybe it would be good to have somebody kind of get back in there, knock off the cobwebs and before they open the resorts.
Huh, that's interesting to think about. I know that Disney does often, when a resort is about to open, there are cast members who do get a stay there at those resorts. And it's really important, I think, in the opening of a resort to have people in there and test your staff, right? To see what's working, what's not. And Disney is such a great job, does such a great job. Their whole company really learns from the feedback that they receive. They seek it out, right? If you've ever been a guest there, chances are you've gotten a survey or you've been surveyed when you'd enter the park or things like that. So Disney does such a great job with that. I would imagine that they would do that, but I haven't heard about anyone even being at Port Orleans yet. I know that we're all waiting for that. I think that they have Coronado and Caribbean Beach open for the obvious reasons, right? Caribbean Beach on the Skyliner, they don't want to waste that opportunity because the Skyliner's already running, right? And Coronado, just because it had Grandestino, had that great big opening, I think that it has so many rooms and is just, you know, really appealing to a lot of guests. But I know that so many people love Riverside. I can't wait until that's open for them.
I miss my Sasagula River. Seriously, I mean, that I've thought about that. Like, because, you know, obviously I was down there this past week and just to take a boat from Disney Springs down to Riverside. It's one of my favorite things, you know, going past the tree houses and oh, so fun. Anyway, it'll come back. It'll be back soon. All right, Tanya's got a question here in the live chat. It says, finally getting the girls trip with my mom and daughters in for the 50th anniversary. We arrive on September 30th and do not want to go to a park that day. What are your favorite resorts to tour and have a great meal at? I was thinking Wilderness since they haven't been there yet. Tanya, you are thinking correctly. Yes, because, okay, with Wilderness, that's a great idea because you could either eat at Geyser Point. That's a great, great place, especially if the weather's nice. I mean, you just really, it's hard to beat Geyser Point. Then you have the Lodge. Of course, you can go around and look at like Boulder Ridge and Copper Creek, the whole complex. You can check out the cab, you know, just walk through all that area. But also inside the lodge itself, you have the Grand Lobby. You have Whispering Canyon for an option to eat if you want to eat there. Territory Lounge, is that open now? But I mean, it could be by the 50th.
It is open now.
Okay, so there you go. So, and the thing is with Wilderness Lodge, you think about proximity, right? In Disney transportation. So if you're at Wilderness Lodge, you could very easily take a boat either to the Magic Kingdom or take a boat to the Contemporary and get around to see if you just want to, you know, go through and check out the Grand. Check out the Poly because it'll be back open at that point. The Contemporary, get a snack. I mean, the Contemporary has, you know, good snacks at like Contempo Cafe. Even in the little gift shop, they have some snacks. You know, just you could go over to the Polynesian and get maybe a Dole Whip to go. Or it's just the Wilderness Lodge opens up the entire monorail loop with just one boat ride. So I think that is a great call. So what else do you think of, Pam?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, too. I mean, it's just an awesome thing. But the other thing you can do is also the resorts over in the Epcot area. Hit the boardwalk. Just walking through the boardwalk, I think, is really interesting. That lobby is really cool. Then you can also visit Yacht and Beach Club because they're right there as well. You could then, from that, it could be a jumping off point to take the Skyliner over to the Riviera or Caribbean Beach. So you can do a whole kind of loop on those things. And touring the resorts is absolutely one of my favorite things to do. There's something about all the Disney resorts, right? They're so themed. They're sort of unique to Disney. And each of them has sort of a different kind of shopping experience, a different kind of dining experience. It's really worth checking out. For me, the Disney resort is, of course, very important our vacation.
It's gotten more and more important the more I've gone, right? I mean, if the first couple trips, I could care less about the hotel's place to sleep. It was all about the parks. And the more I've been able to go, the more. And you know what? Touring resorts, too, also kind of set you up for your next trip. Because say you go through the Wilderness Lodge, you've never been there. You're like, I got to get a piece of this, man. I'm going to at least do a split and stay here next time.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Wilderness Lodge and the Animal Kingdom Lodge are always going to be the most spectacular in terms of just walking into the lobby and seeing those lobbies. They're just fantastic and just really sort of take you to another place. So you can't go wrong, but touring resorts is absolutely a good recreation activity there in the resort.
All right. Lisa's got a question here in the live chat. She says, I have a question about the Disney Visa. And I'm not going to do it here on the show because I will freak you out, but I can look into your eyes and tell you the first 8 digits of your card if you have a Disney Visa. I can at least tell you the first 7, and possibly if you're like super old school, I can tell you what that is too. If I know you've had it forever and ever and you've never got your card compromised, 1-0. But if you've had your card compromised like 98% of the world at this point, 2-0. Just saying. Anyway. Yeah. I'm not going to freak you out by doing it because you'd be like, whoa, that's what we need.
You do need to do the.
Yes, yeah, a little Karnak. Yeah, exactly. 4266. Okay. Anyway, there you go. I'll get the first 4. So she's asking, do we get rewards if we use it to pay for our vacation? Now, again, I don't work for Disney Visa. You can go to their website. It tells you all the details because these things are fluid. But I will tell you, because I am a Disney Visa card holder since day one, I think it says on it. I'm not going to show it because you guys will charge stuff to my cart. No, you wouldn't. You guys are nice. Some hacker would. But there's 2 Disney Visa cards. There's a free one and there's one. It's like the platinum or the premium or something. You got to pay like $99 a month for it or a year, not a month. That'd be crazy. Right. There is an annual fee. But with the one with the annual fee, if you are a Disney fan and say you go on like a Disney cruise every couple of years, you go to Walt Disney World a couple times a year, you're coming out way ahead because you get a lot more rewards points for Disney vacation purchases with that card. You get accelerated the rewards points for things like even just like groceries and gas and basic things. But you also, Disney purchases, you get like two or three times more points, which accrue, and it definitely cancels out that $99 fee. So that's, you also get the 6 months, 0% financing. Now you got to be careful. I will say, it's tricky how you pay your bill with that. So you got to really, because I got burned on that the first time because I didn't know how it worked. It shows it in the statement at the top. Like it'll say this amount of your balance has 0% interest until, and it gives a date 6 months later. But you don't, I thought that was the last like chunk that I would pay. That's not how it works. I ended up calling being like, okay, look, how can I do this? So I only pay like a sixth of it for the next 6 months until it's paid off with no interest. And they kind of walked me through that. But you do get the 6 months, 0% financing with Walt Disney World vacation packages, cruises, stuff like that. But you do get rewards. So, Pam, I mean, anything else to throw in with Disney Visa? I've probably butchered
it. No, that's it. I mean, you do. And you get them as long as you're booking. Like, even if you book through the travel agency, you're still going to get the points. You'll still get the benefit of the 6 months, 0% interest. But Mike's right. You do have to talk with them a little bit about that because you can end up not paying. It's crazy. If you already have a balance and you're adding to it, that kind of thing. So just take that into consideration. But I definitely think it's worth it for people who really travel a lot to Disney. I know that at different times, they'll give you extra bonus points on, like, say, groceries or other things like that. So make sure you check that out. I mean, credit card rewards, if you can play that game and you don't carry a balance, you can really, you know, earn some things for sure. So, Disney fan, what's better than having money to pay on your Disney vacation?
Right. I mean, that's the thing is that I never carry a balance. Like, I pay it off every month. Right. Because, I mean, like, when I was a kid, I grew up in a household where like my parents didn't believe in credit cards, which was fine, right? I mean, that's just what they believed in. But I remember, again, this was like our pre-show. We talked about Kmart and the K Cafe, Adventure, Indulgence, and Service Merchandise. When the first movie rental stores came out, kids, yes, you used to have to go to a store to get a movie in a box to play in a VCR. And this was the greatest thing. It was the first Netflix. So yeah, anyway, 100%. It was called Movies to Go. Came to Florissant. We go up there because my dad was, he was like a tech guy like me, you know, he liked all the gadgets. So we got a VCR, probably paid $1,000 for it back then. He even had the camera, right? The one that went on your shoulder. Like you had to hook the VCR up. You hung it over your shoulder.
It was like you were holding a small child all day.
No, it was like you were, you know, like a news crew, like going around with this thing. Anyway, Movies to Go comes to Florissant. We go up there. We're going to rent a movie, right? We're going to get a movie for our VCR.
Yeah.
You had to have a credit card. Like, they wouldn't rent it to you unless you had a credit card on file. Oh, we didn't have a credit card. So eventually, like, they loosened up on that. But, yeah, that's kind of where I come from. So, like, I don't carry a balance because I don't want to pay interest. And, you know, I use it for everything. I use it for groceries. I use it for gas. I use it for Taco Bell. Imagine how much I got if Taco Bell was double points. I'd be, like, a millionaire. But, I mean, honestly, by the end of the year, because I only use them, like, once a year, like, it pays for my annual pass.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, for nothing. So.
That's we use our Southwest card all the time. Like, that's what we use every time. So, we do, like you, we charge everything and we pay it. Steve pays off a couple times a month because he doesn't like, you know, seeing it on there even. So, I know, right? So funny. But it really is a convenience. And the reason why you had to have a credit card to rent a movie back then is because movies literally cost like $80.
Oh, right, yeah, totally.
It was like renting a car. They needed the credit check to give you this movie. And if you lost it, God forbid. So, anyways.
Yeah, those are the days, though. It was so good walking through a video store with just like all the movies on all the shows.
Right?
It was like Candyland or something. It was crazy. Like, you just don't get
it. I know. I remember like Blockbuster had like a promotion or something where you, for a certain period of time, you got to rent as many movies as you'd like, or five movies a month or something, you know, for this one set price. And I remember at one point, this is sort of like when we were in college or something, just being like, dang, I think I've seen all the good movies. Yeah. Like, you would just walk through.
The original binge is what that was. Okay, Dan's got a good question here. Or Don, sorry. And this is Corwin of Amber, who's usually in YouTube, but he's on Facebook today, YouTube. So he's throwing us all off. But he says, is it worth taking time out of our Magic Kingdom day to do a sit-down meal at the Polynesian? And let me just say, I think we're both going to agree yes, right, on this one?
Yes, we are.
But I think it becomes more...
Those are the kind of people we are.
It becomes more important, and it's more easy to do now, because the Magic Kingdom, when it first opened in August, it was super short hours. I remember the night we were there, closed at 6.
Right.
It was rough. Now it's open usually till 9 or 10. That's just too much time. I mean, it's opening like at 8 or 9 in the morning. You need, not only is it worth it, it is important to do something like this. I mean, sit down at a meal in the Magic Kingdom, but I like to get all the way outside the park, go over to have a meal at Kona, sit down, relax. I mean, Pam, we do this all the time. I mean, just to get out of the Magic Kingdom is great, but it is overstimulating for 12 hours at a time.
I know. I often said, you know, even when Hannah was little, and so we were planning on spending a ton of time in the Magic Kingdom, right? That we would schedule a sit-down meal somewhere just to be able to sit down and have someone, like, bring me an iced tea. And, like, you feel like you can breathe for a second. And you get to focus on just sort of hanging out, which is something, like, you don't get to do a lot of at the Magic Kingdom when you're there. And it just gives you a breather. And the other thing is, by scheduling it sort of in that middle or later, like I'd say like around 1 o'clock is like such a great time, because earlier than that, you're going to benefit from not as many people getting there. And then that big chunk in the middle, that's when the later people like Ricky show up, the early people that got there earlier are still there. So that's sort of the busiest time. So you get to avoid that by heading out, going, having a relaxing meal, and then coming back later in the evening when, again, people are leaving, people with young kids who have been there since 8 o'clock, kids are crying, strollers are running into people. It's a bad scene, right? Some of those people look rough coming out of Magic Kingdom toward the end of the day. You're coming back during that time, and again, you'll be rewarded with sort of lower lines and things like that. And hopefully at some point, crossing our fingers for some kind of nighttime show, right? So totally worth it to do that.
It's got to be happening. I'm telling you. Somebody's got to make Harmonious happen before October 1st so that I can fucking flex on Ricky and Alfred, who keep telling me it's not going to happen.
What date did I say? I said like October 2nd.
Exactly. You $1 is on the Price is Right. Totally did. Okay, let's see. So John gave some feedback here. We were asking about Beer Garden. He said, we were asking, like, does the band play? Yes, the band does play.
Yeah.
How do they do the food? Because Beer Garden is a buffet. And apparently the Cardinals are still doing a buffet at the place across the street. It's called Cardinal Nation. So it's a buffet pregame, and they still have it because I heard it advertised on the radio. So I am signing up. I'm a buffet fan. I'll risk my life for a good buffet. But anyway.
You're vaccinated. You're okay.
Exactly. I'm taking the vaccination for a ride to the buffet. Okay. Anyway, he says the band does play, and it's family style. So they bring you a selection of foods.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I really, that's, so you're going there, right?
Maybe, because I made the reservation for like 3:30 in the afternoon, but I forgot Pam will have already been she'll be in the air back to St. Louis. It's just Mallory and I, and Mallory, she's not a Beer Garden fan.
No, right?
So I'll probably just cancel it. I'll get her a pretzel and save $50.
Yes, you're better off with like maybe a Viennapoli with her or something like that.
No, probably. With her, I'm trying to think. Something at Sunshine Seasons, probably. I mean, as bland as you can get, as boring as you can get. That's how it is with that kid. And that's how it was with Paige. I mean,
it's my whole life.
Exactly. All right. Kimberly's got a question. Actually, it's Rainia. She's down in Georgia. And she says, hey, guys, love listening every chance I get while taking my kids to and from school activities. We have a family trip planned June 28th to July 2nd. At Coronado Springs in a preferred room. It'll be my husband, myself, two girls, 11 and 5, and it's our third trip. I want to extend our trip and add a day on June 27th and July 3rd. In the past, I've had no issue changing reservations, but I have had no luck due to decreased number of resorts open. Should I keep checking for openings? Is there a time people are more likely to drop a reservation? Thanks, Rainia in Georgia. Okay, so first of all, it sounds like she wants to add a day to the beginning and the end of her stay in extended, right, which is pretty common. Now, let me give you the first travel agent tip. Pam's going to like this because this is kind of our thing here. When you're booking, here I go, where's my soapbox? Because I'm getting on it. No, this is just practical because I've been burned by this 100 times. You're booking, if you think you might need the days, book the days initially, because it doesn't matter on the deposit. It's $200 either way. Like if you're booking 10 days or 3 days, it's $200. So it's easier to pull the days down than to try to go after them, especially in these times. So just for people moving forward, book the whole time you think you might go. And then like a couple months out or when you go to make your final payment, bring it into where you need. Okay, so that's Mike's tip number one. Two, here's an option, because we've had this come up a lot, I guess. If you can't find Coronado Springs, and this is kind of a hassle, but it's also kind of an adventure, do a one-night room only. Instead of Coronado Springs, check out Caribbean Beach for one night, or book a studio at Riviera, you know, splurge one night, or, you know, go the opposite direction, stay at movies that night, and then upgrade to Coronado. I mean, look at it as an adventure to try out a resort for one night, swim in their pool, have a meal at their food court, and then, you know, go on to your package. That's what I've told a lot of people to do, because, I mean, that's really the only thing you can do at some point right now.
It is true. And the system isn't really set up to, like, dump the rooms back into availability at a certain time or anything like that. It's supposed to be really a live system where, you know, the availability is going to be updated to the minute. Think about it. Like, if it didn't work that way, you could have a whole group of people rent rooms at the Coronado, but like they, you know, then they'd be overbooked because the system wasn't live. The system really is live and shows the availability at that point. So I think you can just keep trying for that. The other thing you may want to consider, and this is something that we tend to advocate for, people like, either you like this or you don't, and that's a split stay. See if there's availability for a complete split stay, like 3 nights at one and 3 nights at the other. That may be something that works for you. Of course, you have to get fancy with the tickets, but that's an option for you as well. And just keep trying. Try right up to it. There's nothing I like more than, you know, adding days onto my trip. Like, in the beginning, I always, like with Steve, I'm like, okay, well, we're going to run down for like 4 nights because I want to see this and check this out. He's like, okay, let's go, you know, whatever. And then the next week, I'm like, you know what? I think I'd like to stay like another couple nights. Like, maybe we'll check out this resort then. He's like, okay, yeah. And then like in another week, I'm like, well, let's add on like a couple nights in the beginning because it's like at the weekend anyways, and we might as well do that. So yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's like the add-on-itis. Never heard of folks.
It's called Disney math. At some point, you know, you add on dates to like save money, right? Like,
well, and you don't know how many emails I get from my guests that the title of the email is Disney math. I know, okay, we're doing a little addition here because Disney math typically doesn't involve subtraction or division. It's either multiplication or addition, which is repeat. So a couple questions. Oh, Diana's got a little feedback, and then I'm going to get to Kate's question here in the live chat. We were talking about renting cars and how dire the situation is with renting cars, that in Hawaii, people are renting U-Haul pickup trucks because that's all there is on the island.
And paying 99 cents a mile.
Yeah, and I mean, it's dire everywhere. I mean, Orlando, yeah. there's a shortage, Miami, everywhere. So if you're renting a car, you could struggle. But she says, listening to the podcast, you guys are talking about the car care center at Disney. Just thought I would tell you that we did it last year and set it up before we go. They picked us up at Pop, took us to the car care center. We got our rental car to go to the beach for the day and drove back to the car care center, and they drove us back to Pop. It was great. We plan to do this again this year. Just thought I would share. So under normal circumstances, Diana shares, works out great. Just know that right now, like Ricky said on a show, I think last week, that, I mean, it is true. When the depths of COVID was hitting and everything was locked down, some of these rental car places did start to sell off their fleets. They didn't order new cars. And now with the chip shortage, there's a struggle even just getting production cars going. So in travel, it's like the hockey stick, right? It just went straight up. Can't keep up with demand. So right now, just rental cars, just don't count on having one at this point. I mean, if you get one, you're going to pay through the nose.
It's true. They're really, I mean, they really are sort of short on that. And the car rental center right there at the car care center there at Disney World is really great about offering you, you know, they do come pick you up. So that's always, you know, something you can inquire about. But it's those offsite locations that aren't really located at the airport that are sort of these auxiliary stations that have the most interesting cars. I will say that one time we picked up a car from National at the port, right, after our cruise, and we had reserved like a full-size car. And Steve rolls back with a purple Monte Carlo to Dwarf.
Yes, yes, that was an upgrade, baby.
And it wasn't just purple, it was like sparkly purple. Do you know what I mean?
Yo, so yeah, they're like, this dude needs a sparkly purple car. Monty, get it for him.
And I was like, when he pulled up, I was like, no. He's like, literally, this is the biggest car that they have right now. He said, we're going to end up driving to the car care center and switching it out for something else. He's like, but we have to get back to Walt Disney World somehow. So that's what we took, the purple Monte Carlo. Wow. Yeah, we kept it for a day or two, and then the car care center found this something else.
No
but
way.
A two-door, of all things, right? A two-door.
No
and
way.
Those doors were huge.
You got to see that as an opportunity. I would have driven that thing everywhere. I'd have gone to the back to the Space Coast. I'd have gone over to Tampa.
No.
I'll roll through down like on Miami on A1A, Beachfront Avenue in my purple Monte. Oh, man. Oh, God. You guys see that as an opportunity. All right. Kate has a question. Tanya said she paid three times the normal car rental price for her 50th anniversary. I can imagine
true.
That's even worse right now for that weekend. Okay. Kate says, I like this. Kidani or Jumbo? We've stayed at both and love both. But curious which one you prefer. I like them both separately for different reasons, which I think that's it. Like, you know, to me, Kidani's quaint. It's a little quieter, but it's also, you know, still have the Savannah. You still have a lot of the same perks. To me, I like the action. I like the Jumbo, the grand feel of it. So if I had, like, if Disney said, we're going to give you a stay either at Jumbo or Kidani, but you got to tell us which one, I would pick Jumbo, just me. But what would you pick?
That's me, too. And it's kind of for the same reason. So when we're staying at a hotel that has a really great lobby, I actually find myself spending a little bit of time there. And just enjoying the lobby. And Kidani does have a nice lobby, but there's really something about the one at Jumbo. It's so great. It's so grand. And you smell, you know, the food. You smell that fire. There's sort of a fireplace there inside. The music is fantastic. And I really just enjoy that whole experience. I also like the rooms at Jumbo just a little bit better than the ones at Kidani. I don't even know why. I can't even put my finger on why that is. But for me, that's the experience that I'm looking for most of the time.
Agreed. All right. Jennifer has a question. She says, we have a Disney / Universal trip booked for November. We're going to be at Disney at Art of Animation for 6 days and then Universal at Hard Rock. Play real guitar for 3 days. We want to have 2 days at the Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios and 1 day at the other Disney parks. So we haven't added an official rest day in our trip. I know we're going to be exhausted, but is this schedule doable? I don't want my family to hate me, but I want to have enough time to do what we want to do in all the parks. Okay, so they're there for 6 days at Disney. They have two at Magic Kingdom, two at Hollywood Studios, that's four, and then one at Epcot, one at Animal Kingdom, so that's six.
Okay.
How do you work this out? Because you do need it. You, especially if you're going to go another three at over at Universal. Because even though Universal's smaller, it's still busy. You do need a rest day in 9 days. I mean, there's no doubt about that, in my opinion.
It's true. So here's the good news. When you're over at Universal, you're actually staying at the Hard Rock, which is one of the premier hotels, which means you're going to have the unlimited express pass for your entire stay, the day you check in.
Because you're rock stars, right? Because you're at
that's right.
Backstage, that's baby. Right. That's what I did the whole time we were there. Like, I was like,
that's right.
Kids world.
And for Disney folks who don't know, an Express Pass is really sort of like a Fast Pass, only you get to use it again and again and again, and you don't have to schedule it. You just walk on. So on your Universal days, you're going to be able to go to the parks in the morning, do all those awesome things, ride Hagrid's, you're going to see all the Harry Potter things, you're going to ride
did you say Hagrid's?
Hagrid.
It's Hagrid, right? I mean, yeah, I thought he said Haggard. I mean, is he Haggard?
Not going to run Haggard.
Wait, okay, let me ask you this. Okay, you mentioned VelociCoaster, which is opening right about now. It's very, like, we're in VelociCoaster season here as we hit May.
Yes.
That thing is not, it's too much for me. I'm not saying it's too much for everybody. I mean, I'm getting to the point, I still feel like I'm 22, but I think it would knock me out. I mean, it looks awesome, but I just, maybe my velocity.
I want to see the video of you riding.
Yeah, no, it'd be like those videos where the guy gets shot up on the bungee thing and he passes out at the top. He's just like, I'd come back and they'd be like, give me the smelling salts and bring me back. It might be too much.
I know, it's not going to be too much. Well, and so, Jennifer, those days that you're there at Universal, during the afternoon, you're going to be able to go back to your hotel, enjoy that pool that has the underwater music, of course, order some nachos from the pool bar. You can tell them that I sent you, because I do it every time I'm there. But that is totally lunch one day. You get this huge plate of nachos. You're going to be able to relax for a while, and then you'll be able to go back in the evening. And the great thing is that Universal has been doing their nighttime show over at Universal Studios. It's called the Cinematic Celebration. They actually have sort of a big viewing area. You're sort of standing. They put little dots on the ground, and each group stands on a dot. You're physically distanced from each other, and you can enjoy the nighttime show, which has water screens and projections on the building and fireworks. It's awesome. You're going to want to check it out. So your days at Universal will sort of help you really relax, because you'll have time to come back and do that.
You must get the big shake over at Toothsome's.
Oh my gosh, right?
Your stomach hurts? I didn't tell you to get it, but I'm telling you, when you're eating it, it's amazing. But, oh,
right.
I seriously thought that might be the end of my life that night at Cabana Bay when I was trying to do some quotes after I ate that big old thing, walking back to the room. Ooh, that was the biggest mistake ever. Okay, so Don heard the same thing. He thought you said ducks. I thought you said ducks too. I was like, you're standing on ducks? That place is inhumane. It's not like Disney better.
No ducks, I promise.
Okay, one more question here. Tanya's asking, pull out your crystal ball. Do you believe it's a hard no on a Halloween party at Disney? I ask because Universal Studios is in a we may, but wait and see mode for Hollywood Horror Nights.
They did it last year.
Right. I would say, here's me. And again, Disney does remarkably. I don't have a red phone like to the Kremlin. You know, they don't call me here in the studio. I wish they would. Nah, probably not. I'm too busy. Here's the thing. If I had to give odds, I would give it 50-50 at least right now, because I would think I thought they might even be able to pull this off last year in the depths of this, because it is it's more controlled than a regular park day.
Yes.
I think it could happen.
I'm gonna go 51-49.
You did it again. You always give me the prices right.
I'm gonna prices right you. But yes. No, I feel the same way, Mike. I feel like these after hour parties could be something that they could be doing right now.
Exactly.
Like,
and the thing is, they're leaving money on the table is what they're doing, which is unbelievable.
I agree. I totally agree. I would pay to do it. Even though, you know, I know that people are like, oh my gosh, Disney's only, you know, grabbing for money. But we all know they need the money right now. They've, you know, had some things they need to pay for. Their revenue, I'm sure, is down. I just think it would be an opportunity. And it's not something that everyone has to pay to do. But for people who really are looking for that experience, maybe they'd be able to have a nighttime show. Maybe they'd be able to do something different. I think they are leaving money on the table. I truly do.
You want to be, you want even a more sinister thought of this? Okay, here's where you want to go deep in the weeds as to how I think.
Yes.
If you know how business works, fiscal first quarter for Disney is October 1st of 21. Okay, uh-huh. So that counts as fiscal 22. And they're always looking at year over to year growth, right? That's how businesses work. So you might not have parties in August and maybe not even September, but what if all of a sudden they just make these all premium parties for the month of October? Because I think what they want to do, if they're really trying to fix the books, which I don't know if they are, but I mean, there's a way to massage numbers, right? If you don't have Halloween parties during fiscal 21, and then you add that little bit of extra revenue at October 1st of 20, because you got the 50th going on too, which of course they're probably not going to have parties, you know, for maybe the first few days because of the demand there. But I mean, that's another thing to think about, that they might want to start, you know, really trying to cook the book starting October 1st because of the 50th, because of fiscal 22.
Yeah, that's a great point. It will truly be interesting to see what they're able to do. And gosh, for the holidays too. I mean, we all agree that they're leaving money on the table right here. There's an opportunity for sure.
All right. Dan says, do you feel better about Marathon Weekend? Marathon Weekend, I still don't know. I mean, again, for me, and I've said this with a lot of guests, that there has to be, I think two things have to happen before Run Disney can have an in-person race. We got to have the capacity restrictions lifted and the mask mandates lifted. They have to be 100% gone. I know some people say, well, you could have them on the start and the finish. That's a nightmare. Like, if you've ever been to Marathon Weekend, it's just a sea of humanity, and we got to be able to get out there. I mean, because the thing is, it's way more intimate contact than a park day on a busy, busy day. Because you have sweat, you have tears, you have people coughing and, you know, breathing heavy, you know, next to each other, and just, you know, the water stations and the bath, the porta potties. It's, you know, under perfect circumstances, it's gross when you actually think about it. And I pay a lot of money to do these things. But if you really break it down, it is. But I think, I mean, right now it's the beginning of May. But the thing is, I know that they have to schedule it. If I was in Run Disney's shoes, I would register for Marathon Weekend 22 because they can always refund. But I think that by January, we could have an in-person race with a lot of people. I truly believe that. I think it could happen, but I wouldn't give it better than 50-50 still at this point. I hate to say that because that's my favorite weekend of the year and I missed it last year. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I know. I think the races are challenging for a couple of reasons. First of all, I think they're successful for Disney to do because there are so many people and there's so much support and infrastructure needed to really support those races to make them a revenue generating opportunity instead of, a money loss. When you think about, you know, first of all, Bob's Barriers, you know, how much they're paying Bob's Barriers.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, no, see, I've wondered that because when you run 26 miles, you think about a lot of stuff. I'm like, right. Does anybody keep track of, like, if they lose one of these? Because there's got to be 98,000 cones, like, on this course.
Exactly. So just that alone, but just the manpower that's needed to give water, for snacks, for the supports they need in terms of ambulances and having all that available is a lot. So there's a lot that goes into the races. And the other thing that makes it challenging is all the health concerns that you brought up, Mike, that just from the very beginning, you know, they had identified maybe like breathing heavy as a COVID sort of exposure kind of thing to look for in that space. So I think that will be a challenge. I think really, let's be honest, as we move forward, we're going to need the CDC and our government to say this kind of behavior is okay. Because until that happens, then the company's looking at it from a liability standpoint. They'll be like, you know, we all know that we can do this, but until the CDC says it's okay, then as a company, I really don't want to take that risk on because that's not something we can afford to pay for if someone decides to come and sue us later. Even though we're all signing waivers and knowing what's going on, you know that there's a litigious society out there. So unfortunately, that helps dictate some of these things.
Yeah, just the other day, you know, like those memories come up like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, you know, and I get all, you know, this was like a couple weeks ago, it was like Star Wars race weekend from a few years back. And I always take a picture in the corrals before the race starts because in a Run Disney race, if you just take a selfie of yourself, you can't, like, there's a sea of humanity behind you. You cannot see the end of the people and you're just jammed in there like cattle. Like, I mean, I didn't give it a second thought ever, like until I saw, but I looked at it, I was like, what was I doing? I'm like risking my life standing in a corral, but it, you know, we'll get past it and it'll be fine. But you're right. I mean, honestly, when we run a Run Disney race, I know that we're almost there. Like, that's going to be one of the last things. Because it's
that's as close as you can get to people you aren't related to.
Seriously, dude, too close. Some people, I mean, I'm sure I don't smell like roses either when I'm running 26 miles. I mean, some people are like, oh man, could I get a little cologne? And shout out to the monkey man, Jonathan Ramirez, my biggest Dodgers fan out there and up in Canada, making his baked goods, which are incredible. Have you seen his stuff? You follow him on Facebook?
Yes.
Yeah, he was on the Food Network and all that stuff, man. He's a star.
It's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Wade compares Run Disney to planning a wedding. Lots of long-term coordination.
Truth. Very, very true. And twice the liability, Wade.
And you always want the chipper chicken. I'm just saying,
chipper both chicken. The chipper chicken. Of course chicken. You do.
Yeah, both events, you get the chipper chicken. Anyway, we got to call this off. All right, we're out of here. We're getting out of here. If you have questions, send those to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get to those on the next show. Don't forget today's show brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all of your Disney travel needs, whether it's Adventures by Disney, even Disney Cruise Line. Those ships are going to be out there sooner rather than later. The Wish. Got some news about The Wish. How about that?
Yeah,
it's beautiful. And don't forget, of course, Disneyland. Guests back in Disneyland now. And Walt Disney World. Think about how far we've come in 365 days.
Yeah.
I know it seems like it's taken forever. Hey, we're in a lot better place than we were 365 days ago. You need to get out there and have fun. You miss these things. Get out there, have a good time. So check out The Magic for Less. We'll take great care of you. I promise you. TheMagicForLess.com. Also, our Amazon affiliate link. It's a free way to support the show. Very simple. Click through one extra link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And if you'd like some extra content, like Mike in the Midwest and Pam and I are talking about doing an 80s music trivia against each other for an episode. And that will be fun. We are going to get it done. Go over to patreon.com/brguestpodcast. You'll get all the information over there. Give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at brguestmike and at brguestpod. Facebook and YouTube. Subscribe to the show. You get an alert every time we go live. All right. Oh, also, this Sunday night, we're back with another You, Me, and Scotty G, otherwise known as the BOGP Open Line, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. You can call in, and we can talk about all the Disney news of the week. All right, time to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday, where Ricky joins me, and we'll be talking about, we'll figure it out. You got to tune in to find out, because I haven't talked to Ricky yet. All right, so for Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.